The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, and we're here with Columbia Calling, Richard McCall in Bogota, Colombia, talking to you about everything Columbia. This week we talked to Jasmine Stevenson, a Tampa Bay resident living in Medellin and a location-independent entrepreneur. This brave, outgoing, adventurous blogger, JasmineWanders.com, has made her life, made her home in Medellin and is making a success of it. We talk to her. We talk all about Colombia, why she's here, what she's doing, how she makes this a success. This is a show that's just perfect for those people interested in heading anywhere overseas, anywhere at all, and you know, earning money, participating in the country, and working from any location possible. So don't miss Columbia Calling today with me, your host, Richard McCall.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
The U.S. government has spoken. It wants higher tax rates, capital controls to keep your money under their control, surveillance to spy on your every email. In short, the government wants to control every aspect of your life and make you their slave. As an internationally minded person, you know keeping everything you own in one country could be disastrous. But how do you get started? Announcing Passport to Freedom. In just 3 days, you'll learn how to escape high taxes and reduce or eliminate your tax burden. How to form an offshore corporation or trust. The best places to get a second passport. The best places to expatriate. And more. This 3-day event will reveal everything you need to know about keeping yourself and your assets safe. Tickets to this event in fabulous Las Vegas are extremely limited. So go to PassportOverseas.com. That's PassportOverseas.com. Seats are extremely limited. So register today and take advantage of a special 50% discount for overseas radio listeners. Don't miss this chance to see offshore and expat experts like Joel Nagel, Bobby Casey, Jake DeSillis, Pete Sisko, Andrew Henderson, and more. Go to OverseasPassport.com now and reserve your ticket before the government shuts this opportunity down.
From China's Great Wall to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
It's that time of the week again, folks. You're here listening to Columbia Calling with your host, me, Richard McCall, here in the capital city of Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters close to the stars, as they like to say. Yes, we're back. We're talking about Colombia. We're talking later on in the show to Jasmine Stevenson. Jasmine is the author of JasmineWanders.com, a blog all about her travels. She's been on the road since 2007, and now she's a location-independent entrepreneur in Medellin. So for those of you thinking about, you know, upping sticks, moving out somewhere, anywhere in the world, Jasmine is a good reference. You know, you can take some advice from this young lady who originally from Tampa Bay, who's now living in Medellin and making, you know, a life of it there, working. She can work from wherever she likes in the world, and therefore a perfect lifestyle. I mean, I'm sure she has all sorts of ideas and all sorts of advice to share with the listeners out there. So if you're a new listener, welcome. If you are a frequent listener even, thank you for coming back. I hope we continue to challenge you and we continue to entice you back to the show with more interesting interviews and concepts on what is Colombia and why come to Colombia and why you should be thinking differently about Colombia. And every time we have a show, I try and speak a little bit more about the things that perhaps are not in the headlines in the international mainstream press to keep you informed out there. And obviously, not only foreigners, but Colombians in the diaspora in the United States or in Europe are now beginning to tune in, and I'm seeing more messages coming in from these people all over the world. So, yes, thank you. Thank you for listening. What are we talking about this week? Well, the biggest news of the week is, of course, Colombia have qualified for the World Cup. Colombia, the Cafeteros, the yellow shirts of Colombia will be present in Brazil 2014 in the football, that's soccer to those of you in North America, the football World Cup finals in Brazil. It's going to be a party. I mean, it was a party on Friday night, I tell you. I mean, I was terrified to get in a taxi and go home on Friday night because there were drunk drivers everywhere. This is, you know, par for the course, unfortunately, here in Colombia. People were dancing in the streets. The last time they qualified was in 1998 in France, and they were seen off by England, 2-0. The goals from Beckham and Anderton, I believe. But, you know, and that was a generation which had sort of Valderrama playing his last games for the international team. You know, it was a time past. Anyway, Colombia, the yellow of Colombia, the Cafeteros are going to be in the World Cup. But we need to talk about the game a little bit because, I mean, it was just phenomenal. I'd already watched the England game, you know, 4-1 against Montenegro at home. Obviously suffering as an England fan, even in a comfortable 4-1 win. That's what we do. We suffer. But so I'd had a couple of beers, and then we went on to another place to watch the Colombia-Chile game, which is in Barranquilla. Now, Colombia turned up on the pitch as if they had already won. It was evident from the way. It was evident from the attitude. Now, Sampaio, the coach, the Chilean coach, Argentine-Chilean coach, he's no fool at all. And the Chilean players have been in Barranquilla all week, acclimatizing to the heat. I mean, we always knew it was going to affect them, but they were there. They were prepared. And within 28 minutes, Chile were 3-0 up. I mean, they were exposing gaps in this slow Colombian defense. And yet, this came as no surprise to me. I mean, it's like, Yepes is a fantastic player, but he's 38 years old. You do not play Yepes against, young, very fast strike force. Anyway, Peckerman, the Colombian coach, he pulled something out of the hat at halftime. And with two penalties, both of them scored by Falcao, obviously, the Colombian dynamo at the front, and a goal in open play. The first goal, in fact, was by Teofilo, the striker from Barranquilla, who's playing at River Plate in Argentina at the moment. So it came back to 3-3. Obviously, Chile had a player expelled from the game, so it was 11 players to 10, and this is, you know, massively in Colombia's favour. But to come back from 3-0 down to 3-3 to gain that, you know, vital 1 point from a home draw and then qualify for the World Cup, you can only imagine the explosion that was the party in Colombia that night. Now, at 3-0 down, at 3-0 down at half time, I remember I wrote on Facebook, I said, "Don't worry, Colombians, have faith. Remember the 2005 Champions League final when Liverpool were 3-0 down against AC Milan. Remember that in the goals from Crespo and others." And they came back to draw and then take it to extra time and then take it to penalties and win. And yet, it was as if I predicted it. So, you know, el chamán inglés habló. The English shaman spoke. Anyway, so rather than blow my own trumpet, if you want any World Cup predictions, just, you know, look me up. So, Colombia in the World Cup. That is the big, big news. And obviously, that's taking away from other news in the media at the moment. But so, what happened on Saturday night was shocking. And we're sitting here on Monday, but on Saturday night, a huge multi-story luxury block of apartments collapsed in Medellin. I'm focusing on Medellin a little bit this week because, of course, we're talking to Jasmine Stevenson, who is living in Medellin. But a luxury block of apartments, about a week ago, it started, you know, the foundations started to bear cracks, and the constructors said, no, these aren't going to cause any problems whatsoever. But out of security, concerns, most of the people that were evacuated into hotels and other places, and, you know, put up in other places. Anyway, on Saturday night, the buildings have collapsed. You can see on my blog, richardmccall.com, a piece about this because it's basically white collar crime. This was Tower 6. So there were 6 towers in this construction. Tower 6 fell. So the likelihood is Tower 5 is going to go or will have to be demolished. How did they get permission to build like this? Why did they cut corners? It's white collar crime. It's corruption. So listen, when you're thinking of investing in Colombia and when you're thinking of buying apartments or even when you're thinking of renting an apartment, please, 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 please do your homework, because, you know, a building of that many floors, of that expense, collapsed. 11 people are missing. I mean, it's a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy. So that happened in Medellin. We're focusing on Medellin. And this week we will be talking to Jasmine Stevenson. JasmineWanders.com is her blog. Check it out. We're talking to a location independent expert. And how she makes her life in Medellin. How she, you know, raises funds to live. How she does it. This is an awesome episode for those of you thinking of making that leap. For those of you thinking of going out there and you know, starting up a life, to improve your lifestyle and your quality of life in a different part of the world from perhaps where you're from, whether it be London or New York or Tampa. But, you know, doing something different. Maybe it's climate that you want to escape. Maybe it's just the different speed of life. Maybe it's just a change. Maybe it's just a sabbatical. But this is the kind of show that you should be listening to. Check out my blog, richardmccall.com. There's always things about Colombia on there. I'm always writing something or other about Colombia. And don't go away. You're listening to Colombia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. I'm your host, Richard McCall. Thank you for listening.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
It is said that liberty is the only thing you cannot have unless you are willing to give it to others. Do you believe in and want to spread the message of liberty to a younger generation around the world? The Language of Liberty Institute does just that, with camps in developing countries such as Albania, Nigeria, Armenia, and Mozambique. If you want to learn more about this powerful and growing initiative to sponsor, attend, or even become one of the teachers, visit our website at languageofliberty.org to learn more. You can subscribe to email updates or like our Facebook page to follow our activities.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
This tree was never chopped down because this crutch never needed to be carved. Because these legs never grew weak. Because this child never got polio. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Now we are on the brink of eradicating this crippling disease once and for all. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to make sure vaccines reach the people who need it, to protect the children of the world against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary, humanity in motion.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And this is Colombia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. We're here, I'm here in Bogota, and my guest, my very special guest today, is in Medellin, the sunny, very, very modern, very technologically advanced city of Medellin. Over there, about a day's drive, but as a flight, 45 minutes. I'm here with Jasmine Stevenson, a native of Florida who's been in Colombia for 3 years, since 2012 in Medellin. Welcome to the show, Jasmine.
Thank you. Now, Jasmine, I mean, you've been on the road since 2007, and you're an accomplished blogger. I mean, everybody's seen jasminewanders.com. Anyone who's in the business has seen jasminewanders.com. I mean, you have a way of observing and a way of, you know, detailing your travels. But why did you stop in Colombia?
That's a good question. I spent a lot of time in Australia, New Zealand, and Asia, and I just felt like really called to Latin America. And the idea was to travel from Mexico to Argentina.
Right.
And then when I got to Colombia, I was just like, wow, my first day. And that year, I stayed for 6 months. That was in 2010. And I tried to continue my travels. Like, I went to Ecuador and Peru, and I was feeling, like, homesick for Colombia, so I came back. And I stayed another 6 months that year. And then I left again, and I went to Mexico. And I just found myself, like, watching Colombian telenovelas and, like, eat Colombian food in Mexico. And I was like, you know what? I don't need to keep traveling just to say, okay, I'm traveling because I said I was going to travel forever. But, like, if I've already found the place that I love and I want to be in that I think about all the time, and I'm just going to do that. And here I am.
That makes perfect sense. And I've been in Latin America for about 16 years. And the first time I came to Colombia in 1998, I ended up trying to justify always coming back to Colombia until 2007, when I was like, that's it. I've got to live in Colombia. I mean, that's it. I can't make any more excuses. So you decided, you know, you spent time and you made a decision. Medellin. And so why Medellin over any other city or any other little town or place in Colombia?
Well, I spent time in Bogota for, like, I lived there for about 4 months, and I traveled all around Colombia. But there's just something about Medellin, like, I kept coming back during all the years, during all my travels. I made some friends here, and it just felt really familiar. And I just thought, you know, there's no better place for me to go than Medellin to live.
Well, it is a very comfortable lifestyle, and I think the most sort of mail that I get on this show on Columbia Calling are from U.S. citizens asking about Medellin, and I said, well, you know, it's a comfortable city in which to live in, and I mean, you are a testament to that. You it worked for you.
Yeah, it's really comfortable. I just feel like as far as from an expat perspective, it's just a very easy place to live. You know, the people are amazing here. The climate's pretty much perfect. Just really relaxed. Like, the lifestyle, the pace of lifestyle is just really chill. So, yeah, really easy to live here.
Well, this is good to hear. And you're comfortable and you've got no plans to move anywhere at the moment. You're staying in Medellin.
Yes.
Ah, very good, very good. Now, obviously, you have to, let's say, you had to do the bureaucratic nightmare that is visas in Colombia, which, you know, I'm just going to say something out loud. You know, Colombians complain to me about the Schengen visa for Europe, and they complain to me about, well, I know that the U.S. visa is slightly easier now because they want the tourists. But getting a Colombian, you know, visa to stay, for me, has never been easy. I've been here for a long time, first on a journalist visa for many years, and now on a marriage visa. But, you know, there are many more Colombians outside of Colombia than there are foreigners in Colombia, you know.
Yeah.
So it's got to be easier to get out than for us to get in. I don't know. How did you find your process getting a visa to stay in Colombia?
I mean, it's always fun going to that. Last year was the first year that I was like, okay, I need to get some kind of real visa, and I got a student visa, and that was actually really easy. I got that done in New York. But then recently in May, I think it was, I got a business visa, and because my business is like all digital and Colombia isn't the most internet forward or savvy culture, it just sounded very like wishy-washy to them, I guess, and this is string of bad luck, so I only got 6 months, which I was like really bummed out about. But I'll be able to stay until I guess June next year on just kind of a regular tourist visa, and then I'll figure something else out, but where there's a will, there's a way.
This is true. I mean, it is tough, you know, especially if you're, you know, like yourself, you're location independent. professional with your own business and what have you. When I started in 2007, I've been here a long time, but when I started in 2007 and I opened up my little hotel in 2008, okay, I'm in my small place in Montpós, Colombia. You know, okay, there were 10 hotels, it's maybe 34,000 people. We were the first people to, first business to have a website. I mean, it just sort of beggared belief, really. And then even in Cartagena, there were places without websites. And it's not that internet savvy. It's not that web savvy. And I'm not even talking about 21st century technology here. I'm talking about end of the 20th stuff. And it was really backwards like that. So that had to have been difficult. I mean, as you said, wishy-washy. But, are they coming around to that way of thinking? I mean, I imagine that Medellin is more forward-thinking than Bogota when it comes to this.
I mean, I don't know. It's still really frustrating. It's like for example, price shopping. Like, if you want to shop for a camera, let's say, you don't just go online and say, cameras in Medellin, and then you can do all this price comparison. But no, you have to get in a taxi, go to some place, look at the price, go to the next place, look at the price, ask your friends, where did you get this camera, how much did it cost? And you do a post on your Facebook, there's still a ton of businesses that here that think like, okay, all I need is a Facebook page, I don't need a website, or, all I need is like this yellow page listing online, and they still want to like advertise in flyers or whatever, so
yeah.
I still think that it's like very far off. On the positive side, there's like so much space for people to come in if they don't mind a little bit of like client education really just like do something big here in the internet industry.
But this is what you're doing then, really, isn't it? I mean, this is your virtual employer enterprise. I mean, I read one of your blogs, and that was actually how you met your boyfriend. But you were giving a lecture on, I think it was search engine optimization?
Well, in Medellin, we have this local group. It's called the Medellin Entrepreneur Society. I've been part of that for over a year now. And when we first started, when I first got there, it was really small. It was like a group of, 10, 15 people. I would talk about their businesses, and they would give, little presentations. And the post that you mentioned, I was giving a presentation about social media.
Uh-huh. And how was the pickup on that, on social media in Medellin? I mean, how would you gauge it alongside, let's say, Tampa?
Well, the thing is, I don't really work for any Colombian companies.
Uh-huh.
So I basically work with U.S. and U.K. companies or European companies, and I would live here. So my business really has nothing to do with Colombia, which, my blog does, of course, but I don't do, a lot of work with companies here.
Mm-hmm. So, you maintain yourself. And so when you were at the Migración Colombia, the new name for DAS, but it's just the same entity again, and you have to show them sort of the work you've done and the work you're doing. What was their reaction to that, you being completely sort of employed, let's say, overseas?
Well, at first, I had to go twice. The first time she sent me back because I didn't have proof of income or whatever.
Yeah.
And when I came back with that, I was greeted with two interns because it was, right after Memorial Day in the U.S., and, the real person wasn't there, and, they had no clue what was going on. And then, they tried to tell me, oh, well, you have to come back, in the few months after we, send it to Bogota. And I was like, no, that's not going to work because I'm leaving for Colombia today. And so they called the lady, and she's trying to describe. She's like, oh, it's like some kind of digital marketing. And she said my company name, and I was just like, man, this is not going to go well. And so I just got this good one.
I think you'll be fine. I think you'll be fine. As you say, there's a will, there's a way. You can do it. I mean, it's just a question of sort of playing the game, unfortunately. And I'm trying to help some friends out here in Bogota. You know, they've been on student visas, but they're working like you, location independent as translators, but for overseas companies. But Colombia just needs to take another step forward, I feel, with regards to that. I mean, we're not doing anything wrong here. We're living and we're contributing, and we are active participants in society.
Yeah, and like for somebody who's location independent, I think that would be the ideal person to have here because I'm literally making no money here, but I'm spending all my money here. So only like all this like, you know, incoming money and nothing leaving. So I would think it would be ideal, but hopefully they'll come around someday.
That's a very interesting point. I hadn't thought of that, but that's a very interesting point. Okay, so we're talking to Jasmine Stevenson. Jasmine is a resident of Tampa, well, former resident of Tampa, now a resident of Medellin. You can check out her blog, jasminewanders.com. You're listening to Columbia Calling, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. For the jet-setting beach bum, a problem eventually arises. Where do you go in the world for a new beach fix after your travels have taken you to the usual sandy spots around the world? Well, that's an easy one. It's time to get experimental. Everyone and their brother has hit the tropical white sand beaches, encircled with swaying palm trees and turquoise water nibbling at the shore. Are you ready for one with a twist on the theme? Check out the resort complex San Alfonso del Mar in Algarabo, Chile, for the world's largest swimming pool. This one should definitely be added to your bucket travels list. What do you do when you are a world-renowned resort located smack dab on the Pacific coast in Chile? Normally, whoop for joy that you can charge top dollar for the proximity to the ocean. But this particular stretch of ocean offers 63-degree year-round temperatures, dangerous waves, and rip currents. Ouch. Plunging nightly rates. Until some brainiac figured it would be a good idea to build the world's largest swimming pool mere feet from the ocean. Turns out, it was a good idea. This massive saltwater swimming pool remains a constant 79 degrees. No tides, sharks, or stingrays to ruin the day either. How big is big? Try half a mile long and hold 66 million gallons of water. It looks more like a lake. Add in a white sand perimeter, palm trees, and docks for sailors to ply their hobby. You heard correctly, sailing in the pool. And if you get a wild urge to experience Mother Nature's version of water, it's only a few steps to the real deal. We're betting you'll be back in the pool before long. How's that for a jolt to your usual beach travels? For more, visit jetsettershow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota. I'm talking to Jasmine Stevenson. That's Jasmine Stevenson of jasminewanders.com. Check out her blog, a location independent professional living in Medellin, Colombia. She's been giving us all the reasons why to live in Medellin, and obviously it's a very enticing city. It's a very popular city for expats. But I want to ask you something, Jasmine. I mean, you know, you say you're not earning any money in Colombia, you're earning it overseas, but you're spending all of your money in Colombia, so you're perfect, a visitor, perfect guest in this country. But talk to me about culture shocks. Living in Colombia or living in Medellin, are there any things that you really miss or you really hanker for?
I've been traveling for a really long time, so, I mean, and I was in Latin America for a while too, so I can't say that I had any major culture shock. But certain little things, I guess, you wish were a little bit better, like the internet thing we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just the concept of, like, the customer is always right.
Yeah.
You know, like, it would be nice if you could just, like, if something doesn't taste good and you could send it back and they would be like, oh, sorry. You're trying to do better, that something's likely work.
Well, it's interesting you say that because there is no client service here. I mean, absolutely none. And if you're coming from somewhere which is very, very strongly embedded in society like the US or Canada, where the client is always right, it's a tough one here. Because and Medellin, for my money, is better than Bogota or any other city in that. And so if you've got some issues, then it's serious. And now, hang on, I was reading your blog, and you're a vegetarian. How's that in Medellin?
It's easy. One of the most popular lunches here is the bandeja paisa. It's easy to get that with no meat. You just have the beans, the rice, the salad, the platanos, or the fries, or whatever. So it's easy. And, I live in Poblado, and I have a lot of international restaurants. So there's like a vegetarian hamburger place that I order from all the time. There's a lot of options here.
You're catered for, which is good. I mean, this is progress. I'm just going to describe to the listeners out there, El Poblado, for those of you who are wishing to come to Colombia or don't know Medellin or any of these places, El Poblado is a very nice part of town, sort of up the side of the hill, but it's the most sort of international part of Medellin, the Parque Lleras and other things, and it's sort of, I would say, the most comfortable part of Medellin, really. I mean, I how would you describe it, Jasmine?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Muslim people live here, most expats live here, but they also Envigado or Laureles, but I like it out here. It's very close to everything, so.
And, of course, the great thing that Medellin has is the metro system, and you just wander down the hill to the El Poblado metro station, and you can get anywhere.
Yeah, the metro is amazing here. I've been in Miami, I was there recently, and I rode their metro, and I was like, wow, Medellin, their metro is so much nicer.
Well, there's a pride in it, isn't there? And they keep it clean, and people are, as I said, they're proud of their metro system.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's cool. So so you're doing pretty well up there in El Poblado, and in the year or so that you've been living there, how have you seen, let's say, the increase of foreigners in the area?
Well, it's crazy because my first came here in 2010. Medellin, I think, was my second city, and I really didn't see that many foreigners. I would walk around during the day and I would see a handful. But now it's there's a lot more living here, and Medellin is a big city technically, but it still has a really small town feel, and so you start getting to know people, and I would say all the foreigners living here, you're probably 1 degree of separation away from
1 degree of separation. When I went I went in 2006 the first time. There was one hostel, and that was on the other side of town by it was called the Palm Tree. I think it's still there. There was no one. I mean, it was us in the hostel. And then when I went back 2007, 2008, I get terrified by the amount. But it's an international city, in those parts, what you mentioned. But do you, Jasmine, get the opportunity to travel around the city, go to different parts? Do you leave El Poblado and go into other sections?
Yeah, I do. I probably used to more than I do now, but my boyfriend has a lot of family in Envigado, so we go there quite often, or we'll do different things for events, or take the dog. We have two dogs, so we'll take them to this park, just up from Envigado. So yeah.
Mm. And let me ask you a question. How is your Spanish?
I think it's pretty good.
Okay, fantastic. That's good. Because of course, in Colombia, still it's an imperative that you do speak Spanish, or at least a level of Spanish. English is still quite far off in reality.
Yeah, I get a lot of emails asking do I need to know Spanish to go to Colombia? And I'm yes. It's not just because Colombia is still really new on the tourist trail, so it's not there's all these people working in the tourism industry that speak English. I mean, of course you will get that, but it's not you can just go to a bus station and start speaking English with a counter person and they're going to be oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. So, yeah, you need to learn Spanish.
Very important. Now, if you were talking to you obviously get contacted a great deal by people wanting to come down to Colombia, and they ask you what you cannot miss in Medellin or near Medellin. What do you suggest to people?
Well, for me, I can't miss the Vida Pueblo, you know? I mean, I'm not so into, tourist attractions. I mean, sure, it's cool to go to the Botero Plaza or the Botanical Gardens, but for me, it's, the Pueblos around the city and just getting to know, the countryside of life. I'm not going to say that's the real Colombia, because if you're in Colombia, everything you see is real Colombia. It's just the fact that you're here.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's, this really cultural thing that you know about, where people like to go to the art, you know, visit the pueblos on the weekends or go to the Finca or whatever. So it's really nice to see that balance, that, and even in every city dweller in Colombia, there's, a very countryside them too.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to get out of the countryside anywhere in Colombia. So when you're talking about the pueblos, again, I'll explain it. The little towns outside, especially in the region of Antioquia, which is the department, what we would call a state, county, or the department where Medellin is situated. Medellin is the capital of Antioquia, but so the pueblos are these very traditional, rural communities out there. And so you've got places like Jardín, and Jerico, and you're going to know them better than I do. But they're wonderful. Authentic, aren't they? I mean, that's really, really what we're striving for.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of little pueblos in Colombia, probably 20 or 30 maybe, and some of them are so well preserved. This one in Boyacá, called Mongui. It's so small, but it looks like you literally just step into the 1800s, and I just think that coming from the U.S., where you just don't get that, especially from the South, there's, nothing that old.
Yeah.
And just to see that is, amazing.
That's good. It's bizarre that Mongi's known for, making footballs, the fabrication of footballs.
Yeah.
But it is a beautiful city, and you get there quite fast from here, up out of Bogota via Paipa and then up to Mongi. I mean, it's not on the tourist trail, but it's definitely worth visiting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're in Medellin. Describe to us a little bit your day-to-day routine then as a location-independent enterprise. Tell us a little bit about the virtual employee enterprise, your company.
So one of the things that I do is, through my blog, the most common question I get is, how do you do that? How have you been traveling for so long? I want to do what you do. People still have this misconception that they have to save $20,000 before they travel. And me, each time I left home, I had $1,000, and I was just okay, I'm going to wing it. And after Australia and New Zealand, where I did working holidays, that means I got a visa to work in that country, I came back to the States and I was okay, I don't want to be tied down to one location and have to work there. Mm-hmm. I need to figure out something I can do online that will sustain my travels. And I stayed in the States for 6 months trying to figure it out. It took me so long. I mean, I went through so much stuff, working, clicking on scams and working for hardly any pay. And so I finally found a few methods that, I was okay, I can live off this. And then, just started learning more, teaching myself more as we go, and, finally where I am now, living very comfortably. And so, my product, my boyfriend and I created this product called Virtual Employee Genius. It's a video course. And it basically teaches people, that are extremely new to, this isn't for veterans who, already know how to work online, but yeah, for people who are, don't know much about, don't think it's possible, think it's all scams, but it's 2013, There's very few jobs that are absolutely necessary to be in an office or in somewhere. There's so many different options for work online. So we basically teach them every little thing they need to know about finding real jobs for real companies. I'm not talking about taking surveys or data entry or whatever, but just their skills that they have, how to use it to find jobs online. And once you find jobs online, then you can work from anywhere. You can work from Idaho, you can work from Thailand or Colombia, wherever you want.
And how many people have you had sign up for this course?
Yeah, I've had a good amount. Definitely still need to do some marketing and stuff, but I have so much going on that it's like you have to kind of pick your priorities. But for me, it's just like I just wanted to provide that service for people. So, you know, once they're like, they ask me, how do you do it? I'm like, okay, well, I teach you everything you need to know here.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty fantastic, and it almost sounds like, you know, a social project, you know, helping people find their lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do, like, when I first started my blog, I was working at this law firm in Arizona, and people were just, like, they just really didn't understand, like, what I was doing or why or how, and neither did I, really. I was just like, okay. I mean, I hadn't even traveled that much before. I just, like, got rid of everything, and I just bought tickets to New Zealand.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, I'm going to start a blog because I want people to, like, be able to say, okay, if I don't like my life, or, you know, I can change it. If I'm not happy with what society is defining as a successful life, then I can define what success looks like for me and inspire people to, like, take the leap because, you know, why not? Like, why settle for a life that's, like, you know, plain and not like the best life you could be living if there's, you have a dream, you know, you gotta chase that.
Yeah, very interesting indeed, Jasmine. Thank you for these comments. And now, listen, we're gonna take a short break now, and we'll come back for the final segment where we'll talk a little bit more about your projects and so on and so forth. So you're listening to Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall, and we're talking to Jasmine Stevenson of jasminewanders.com, who is in Medellin. Don't go away.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
You've decided that you want to move overseas for that quality of life experience you've always dreamed of. But you don't want to give up the best of back home. We agree. Things like high-speed internet, safe neighborhoods where you can stroll along a shaded sidewalk, a place where you know your neighbors and you have friends close by. These are important. Grand Pacifica Beach and Golf Resort gives you the best comforts of back home paired with the exceptional lifestyle only available south of the border. Imagine strolling along over 3 miles of secluded beach, playing a round of golf along the ocean, surfing a world-class break all the yourself, enjoying a fine meal on your balcony and toasting to another spectacular sunset. All this and more can be yours only an hour from Managua. Complete home and lot packages start under $100,000, and a nice home on the golf course is yours for the mid-twos. Come visit for a weekend and enjoy our oceanside golf course. Ride horseback on the beach, meet your future neighbors, and make some new friends. Grand Pacifica may be a place you'd like to call home. For more information, email Mike at MikesGringoLife.com. That's Mike at MikesGringoLife.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable health care, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.JustLanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's JustLanded.com.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. We are talking with Jasmine Stevenson, jasminewanders.com, a location-independent professional in Medellin, Colombia. Now, I got Jasmine on because she's in Medellin. Medellin is the city which attracts, I think, most foreigners because of the ideal climate and obviously a certain sense of modernity, and also it's a comfortable place to make the transition, to make the leap, as Jasmine was mentioning earlier in this show. What is so sort of exciting, but also it's inspiring, Jasmine. You know, you knew at a young age that you weren't going to remain, you know, like, for example, working in that lawyer's office in Arizona or so on. You decided, this is it. I'm going to take my $1,000, which is not a great deal of money here in Colombia, but I'm going to go down and I'm going to live in Colombia. And you've made it happen. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, to people out there thinking of doing this, what advice do you have?
For living in Colombia?
Well, or just taking the jump.
Just do it. Just do it. I think people really like to complicate things, and it's not that deep. It's really not. You just gotta do it.
Now, Jasmine, I've been reading your blog, and I saw the most recent blog back in September was the 5 ways this blog has changed my life. You know, and you started with hate. Tell me about this hate.
Oh my gosh, it's been really crazy because any time that you put yourself out there, especially on the internet, where there's so much opportunity for people to comment to you anonymously. And I never would have thought, like, anything I say is offensive, because I just try to be very authentic. And certain, like, I have this one article, for example. I went to this little town. I was in Ecuador for, like, 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I went to this little town called Vilcabamba.
Yeah.
And this little town, I mean, first of all, I think I was reading Lonely Planet when I read about this, and I really don't recommend you do that, because I used Lonely Planet for so many years, and I can't tell you by, like, you know, so many travelers put their faith in one paragraph of description, and then they get there, and they're like, what? Like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I got to this town, and I'm expecting one thing, and I'm greeted with another, and, like, it's like, I don't think I've ever seen a place with such a condensed foreigner population compared to the local population.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of foreigners in Medellin, but it's also a city of 3 million people, so you have a lot of people here. It really it's not that big of a deal. But in this little town, I was just like, wow, like, is anybody even integrated here? Like, do any of you all speak Spanish? I mean, it was just really crazy. And I was there, I tried to give it a chance. I was there for like 4 days. I was really not impressed, and I wrote about what I thought about the town.
Yeah.
And I think that was like 2 years ago, and I just got an email last week from somebody, like, really hateful email about, like, you know, it's crazy. And I had to actually close the comments on that post because I was just like, oh my gosh. I mean, how, like, all I did was write my opinion about the town.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Well, I mean, it's your opinion, it's your blog, it's your observation. I mean, people are allowed to dislike it, but why do they have to be so hateful?
Yeah, I mean, I never said on my blog, like, okay, this is like an unbiased perspective of the world. Like, I'm not interested in being unbiased. I write about my personal experiences, whether they're different than other people's, of course they're going to be. So, yeah.
Well, I can see your blog here now, actually, why Vilcabamba is seriously overrated. I'll read that a little bit later. And for those of people who are interested, you know, you can find that on jasminewanders.com. But obviously, the blog that I'm mentioning, the 5 ways this blog has changed my life, you then move on to more positive details. Share with us a few of these positive details from your blog.
Well, it's definitely opened up a lot of work opportunities for me. For example, I work in social media right now, and I also own a lot of, they're sort of like travel blogs that I don't write for them. I just like basically sell advertising on them and have other people produce the content.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have never known how to do that if I didn't have my own blog to experiment on. And as far as like making money advertising on the blog, I didn't know that was possible until somebody emailed me and was like, and like years ago, and I was like, hey, I want to pay you to put this link on my site. And I was like, what?
Awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, that's opened up a ton of work opportunities for me. I have no idea what I would be doing with blogs if I didn't have my blog.
Well, this is very, very positive, Jasmine. Now, I'm going to touch on a subject that I actually kind of didn't want to stray onto, but again, I get emails about it. And you've got this blog here because you are one of the few female expats there in Medellin, because you've got this blog as well. Is Medellin a city for boys only? The paisas, as they're known, girls from Medellin, are attractive young ladies, but it's not all about the ladies, is it?
No, I mean, There's a few different kinds of expats that you get here.
Yeah.
Some of them is like the dirty men that come here only for girls, and they're usually older. They like younger girls, sometimes too young. They just have this really creepy energy.
And you know who they are. I mean, you can see them.
Yeah, you really do. And then you have like this other really cool culture where there's a lot of people here who are like working digitally or they're starting companies here. They're usually younger. And that's like really cool. It's like a sort of like a startup culture almost here.
Yeah, I would say that actually it's got much more of that sort of feel in Medellin. There's some sort of more, it's more entrepreneurial. I mean, obviously, you know, when we mention these different types of expats, I mean, as you said, you can see the energy, you can feel the energy of these people, and I mean, they're just to be avoided.
Yeah, I mean, especially because, you know, Colombia, I would say, like, one of the most important things that you need to know if you plan living in Colombia is, like, word of mouth and, like, your reputation is extremely important here.
Mm-hmm.
As far as business goes, if you have a referral or something like that, like, that's your key to get in. If, you know, the way to meet friends is if someone introduces you. It's, like, very much about, like, your reputation. And if Medellin is such a small town and you're doing things that you're not supposed to be doing, then people will find out about it.
It's true. Absolutely true. I mean, it's not, and that's not, I mean, that's Colombia-wide and everything. I mean, even, I don't move massively in an expat community here, but I do have my contacts because obviously it's nice to touch base and you know, be reminded of the motherland and so on and so forth. But everything is about appearance and your reputation. Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, even in Bogota, in that respect, it's a small town, and Medellin, I think, even more so. So, being a lady in Medellin, I'm sure you have a sterling reputation, because you're not going to give off that nasty vibe.
No, I'm not a dirty old man.
this is definitely a positive thing. So we'll just move on a little bit now. Okay, so we want to plug your businesses a bit. So the website for your virtual employee genius is the same as your blog site.
No, my blog is jasminewaters.com, and then you can find the product on virtualemployeegenius.com.
Virtualemployeegenius.com. So hopefully we can drive a few more people to you. Now, you make enough money to survive. You're living a good life in Medellin. You're not moving anywhere. At this point in your life, if you were back in the U.S., what would you be doing?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. It's been so long. Like, I haven't really lived there since 2007. And it's been so long, in fact, and just because I spent, you know, my 20s overseas, when I go back, I feel more like a visitor than anything. So I really cannot imagine. I know one thing, though. I would not be working like a 9-to-5 because I just couldn't do that.
No, I don't think any of us could do that. I mean, we've all made a concerted effort not to do that. But it's a tough one, though. It's a tough one. Now, and your parents, when you said, I mean, your parents, I assume from Florida as well, when you said, "Now I'm moving to Colombia full time," what were their reactions?
Well, my mom's from Canada, actually, so
okay. That's
kind of cool. But I've been traveling for so long, and when I first got to Colombia, you know, I was telling them about how amazing it is, and they believed me just because I've been traveling for so long, and you know, they had seen, okay, well, she managed to survive for this many years, you know, who cares about their reputation, and they would, like, believe my word over anything else I hear. And they actually, my parents and my sister came for Christmas, so that was really awesome.
So they came down for Christmas, and they had no issues, and they loved it, and they're planning on visiting again, I imagine.
Exactly. They left. It was December. It's a really awesome month to visit Medellin because they have, like, all these Christmas lights on the river. And it's like a great month to visit. If you plan on coming to Medellin, I highly suggest December. And
So the whole of the river that goes through Medellin that divides one side from the other is illuminated with the Christmas lights. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. And they and that, I mean, it's a really big deal. But it's like you're saying, when we touch on certain things, you like the authentic. That is authentic Medellin. One thing I can never recommend to people who go to Medellin is just don't go to the Pueblito Paisa, the one up on the hill there. And it's like, I mean, it's just created for your sort of half an hour's entertainment. Take a, you know, rent a car and go out to Jardín Ojerico, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, Pueblito Paisa is okay for this. You can check out the view of the city, but no.
All right. Well, okay. So, well, Jasmine, thank you for your time. And if you're telling people, I mean, you get so much mail and so much thing. I mean, what is your? I mean, I assume you have a template with which you just answer people. No, Colombia's not as dangerous as you think. You just need common sense. Is there any actual sort of, you know, serious advice that you would offer to anyone considering of moving or traveling to Colombia?
Well, people a lot of times ask me, like, where should I live in Medellin or where should I live in Colombia? And, you know, you really have to come here and see for yourself, you know, suggest, like, spending the day in each neighborhood you're considering and being like, okay, this one's cool, this one, you know, the pros, the cons, whatever. You know, if you don't like one place, you can always move to another. Luckily, I haven't gotten many, like, is Colombia dangerous emails and a very long time, I think, because the word's out, it's not that bad. especially for a traveler. I mean, I literally traveled on a bus alone from the coast to the border with Ecuador and back and forth and across and over. No problems at all. So I don't get a lot of those emails, but just like come and see for yourself, you know, don't listen to, like, if you are still hesitant about, oh, maybe it's dangerous and this and that. Well, one thing I've learned a very important lesson from traveling is, like, the media says one thing, the reality is different. And you have to go see with your own eyes if you really want to know what a place is like.
This is very true and incredibly true in the case of Colombia, because we've been slayed by negative media for so long. So anyway, so well, I'm going to sign off now. So JasmineWanders.com, that's Jasmine Stevenson. Thank you very much for your time. All right, so you've been listening to Colombia Calling. We've been interviewing Jasmine Stevenson, JasmineWanders.com, there in Medellin. This is Colombia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network, and I'm your host, Richard McCall. I hope you've enjoyed the show.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.